Well, good morning. If you would, turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, the scripture that was just read. That's our text for today. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. So much for theory. The Hebrew writer now turns to actual flesh and blood people who made faith a thing to live by. A principle to practice, a daily way of life. In the previous lesson, we considered Abel and Enoch and Noah. Today, we will be looking at Abraham and Sarah. Now, remember our definition of faith. Faith is the trust in God that does as He directs. So looking back, we cannot help but admire this man, Abram, who struck out without a map for a place, willing to choose to live in tents rather than in a secure abode in Ur of the Chaldees. What faith. In verse 6, we have a very important verse. He says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And so faith requires that we believe that God is. God exists absolutely. He did not come into being. He will not go out of being. He is not growing or becoming or changing. He said, "I am who I am," Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. That is His name. He absolutely exists. Therefore, He is pleased when this existence is known and it's embraced by people. So faith requires that we believe that God is. And secondly, faith requires taking God at His word. And so God speaks and promises that He will do something. And this is the object of our faith. For example, He said, "Believe on my Son, Jesus Christ, and you will have everlasting life." He will do it. He is good enough. He is smart enough. He is strong enough to accomplish it. Verse 8 says that Abram was called by God to leave his homeland. Verse 9 says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were fellow heirs of a promise. So God made a promise about the land that they would inherit someday, but not yet. Finally, verse 11b says that Sarah regarded him faithful who had promised. That is, God had promised. So in every case, in the faith, life is sustained by the Word of God. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. And so God has spoken to us many, many promises. And God wants us to latch on to these promises. He said, for example, "I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ." Philippians 4, verse 19. He said, "I will pursue you with goodness and mercy." Psalm 23, verse 6. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13, verse 5. He said, "If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit." John 15, verse 5. He said, "Wait on me and will renew your strength, and you will mount up with wings like eagles, and you will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint." Isaiah 40, verse 31. He said, "I will give you wisdom for every challenge in life." James chapter 1 and verse 5. And He said, "I will be with you and strengthen you and help you." Isaiah 41 and verse 10. You see, faith believes that God will come through on His promises. That's what faith believes. Faith trusts that God will come through on the promises that He makes for His people. And that is exactly what we see God coming through on Abraham and Sarah's behalf today. So by faith, Abraham and Sarah pleased God. The story of this husband and wife team has been brought up from the past by the Holy Spirit in order to examine and emulate today. Because that's the reason these examples are given. They're given to us so that we will follow in their steps. Do what they did. They are examples of people who lived by faith and who pleased God. Abraham, by faith, when he was called, he obeyed. But Abraham actually received two calls from God. The first call came when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, Genesis 12. And then the second call came when he was in Haran. And we wouldn't have known about that call if it weren't for Stephen's sermon in Acts, the 7th chapter. So for Abraham, following God was a real adventure. First, because he had no idea where he was going, God said, I'm going to give you land, just start walking and don't stop until I tell you. And then secondly, he was 75 years old when he struck out on this journey. And number three, his wife would be affected by God's call as well, because she would conceive and have a son. And so what do you think his family and his friends thought about his decision to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to leave his family, to leave his people behind? They probably thought that Abraham and Sarah had flipped their lids and probably, you know, asked, where are you going and who told you to do this? You know, they had to be wondering. Abraham is uprooting and going to a place he has no idea. But that's what faith does. It trusts God. And we are told that even when he arrived in the land of promise, the land that he would inherit, that he lived there as an alien. He lived there as a foreigner without rights of citizenship. He dwelt in tents. He had no permanent residence. God was his home. You see, how could a man live under such uncertain conditions? And the answer is by faith. And that's what we see 18 times through this 11th chapter. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham and Sarah. By faith. The writer tells us that he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God, verse 10. So Abraham's focus was not on the tents or the desert sand or the heat. He saw beyond these things, not to an earthly city, but to a permanent, eternal home for the faithful. Spiritually, he fixed his eyes on the eternal home of the faithful in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, takes up the very thought of Abraham's faith. Here we have no lasting city. You see, everything here breaks. Everything here ages. Everything here spoils. Everything here rusts. Only God remains unchanged and glorious. And then in verses 11 and 12, Sarah, by faith, conceived. This 90-year-old woman placed her faith and trust in God, as did her husband Abraham. And God gave them the fulfillment of their dreams in the birth of Isaac. Think about that. Abraham is 100. Sarah is 90. And they are parents for the first time. And God said, I'm going to build you into a nation. And here's the start of that. So God gave them the fulfillment of their dreams. Even Sarah, you know, conceiving in her old age. Years earlier, God had promised that Abraham would receive as many descendants as the stars that are in the heaven, innumerable. That's verse 12. Now, in the Old Testament, a Jewish was considered cursed by God if they were barren, if they could not have children. And so now Sarah, by faith, miraculously is able to conceive and bear a child. And so the Hebrew writer wants us to know, this is an important point, that the life of faith is the life of a sojourner. And that's what we see in verses 13 through 16. In Genesis 23, verse 4, Abram pleads with the sons of Heth for a grave for his wife. He said, "I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight." And at the end of his life, Jacob said to Pharaoh, "These years of my sojourning are 130 years. Genesis 47:9. And then in Psalm 39, King David looked back over these testimonies, and he includes himself in this lineage of sojourners on the earth who by faith followed God. Verse 12 of Psalm 39 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry, and do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner like all my fathers." And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And then Peter says in 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So the point here is that the life of faith is that of an exile. And that's what we see in the lives of these individuals that we're looking at, a sojourner, a refugee. The promises of God are a real home. And we have seen them from afar. All right? We have seen them and we have tasted them. And we long for them. And we are restless in our souls for this eternal home that God has prepared for us. Now look at how the Hebrew writer argues for this life of faith. He says in verse 14 that those who speak this way, namely as a sojourner, are seeking another country. And so the key word here is seeking. A sojourner is living by faith in God's promises. He's seeking another country. He does not settle in here, and he does not settle for this. He is seeking a better country. Verse 15, the writer argues that if the country that the patriarchs were seeking were on the earth and obtainable by human means, they would have gone after it. But they didn't. Rather, they lived in tents, verse 9, and they refused to go back to Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis chapter 24, verse 6 says, "If they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return, but they didn't." Why not? Why not? Verse 16 gives the answer. It says, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. They desire that. They long for that. They want that. The faith life seeks after, verse 14, and desires a better country, a heavenly one. And this is what the writer is focusing on in these verses. Faith considers this world and what it offers. Then it considers the promises of God and what God offers. And faith desires one over the other. Faith seeks another country. It sees the promise of God from afar, and it is stunned by it, and it greets it, and it longs for it, and it confesses to being a stranger here in this world. And that is what we need to hear this morning about faith. Faith sees the promised future that God offers. That's what faith sees. Some now, mostly later, and it desires it. It longs for it. But the point of this text is that living and dying by faith means that we desire and we're seeking new satisfactions. Verse 14 says, if they were seeking a different country than this, that they were seeking a different country than this world offered. And verse 16 says, they were desiring something better than an earthly existence as we know it today. And so there's one more wonderful thing that I want you to see right here in verse 16, and I love this. It says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed. And so what does that mean? It means that God is proud to be their God. Those who are seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. God is pleased when we by faith join Abraham and Sarah and we follow along. Talked about what a city that awaits us. What a city. No pollution, no graffiti, no trash, no peeling paint or rotting garages. No dead grass, no broken bottles, no hard street talk. No in-your-face confrontations, no domestic strife or violence. No dangers in the night, no arson or lying or stealing or killing or vandalism, and no ugliness. The city of God will be perfect because God will be in it, and He will walk in it, and He will talk in it, and manifest Himself in every part of it. All that is good and beautiful and holy and peaceful and true and happy will be there. Because God will be there. Perfect justice will be there. And recompense a thousandfold for every pain suffered in obedience to Christ. And it will never deteriorate. In fact, it will shine brighter and brighter as eternity stretches out into unending ages of increasing joy. That sounds like a place I want to be at. And so when you desire this city, this future that God has for you more than anything on this earth, you honor God when you desire this. And then God honors you and says that I am not ashamed to be called your God. Why? Because we are walking by faith. So today, are you a sojourner? Are you following the example of Abraham and Sarah? Are you living by faith? Hopefully you are. But if you're not and you've never placed your faith, your trust in Christ, this morning we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. The Bible says that we're sinners and we're dead in our sin. And if we die in our sins, we'll be eternally separated from God. But God in love sent His Son Jesus. He died on the cross, paid the debt of our sin, so that if we will receive Him through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, God will eradicate our sins. He will embrace us as His child, and He will love on us and give us a future. And so if that's your desire, we hope that you'll respond as we sing this morning. Come as we sing.